Prepare to not sleep tonight, friends. You're going to think I'm crazy. I would wake up in the middle of the night. I would see someone like hanging and like swaying, like left to right.
Aliver than alive. Aliver than my grandma when she sees the KFC in the distance. She was alive, honey.
Who does that?
Oh, sociopath.
Who does that?
And this man is on the loose. You never know who's living next to you. It could be a piss boy earthworm murderer.
Yeah. Yeah. Me and the three-legged deer, we have so much in common. Like, nobody wants to be in our pack. And like, I'm disheveled at this point. Like, I'm like, yeah, we can live at this house alone together. No one wants to be here with us. It's fine. Everything's okay.
I can be, have been known to be, a little dramatic.
Boo.
Boo.
Did we get you? Ooh, I'm here with Brooke Boori. No, wait, that's not it.
It's Scary Berry.
Oh, that, I was like, no, that did not roll off the tongue right. I wish I had one.
Boo Berry, Scary Berry. Both of these work.
All I can do is morgasm.
Or
morganism. Morganization.
You're so lucky.
Morific.
You're so lucky, though, because you're an Adams. We should watch that tonight.
Okay, funny thing. I had never seen any of the Wednesday series. I've never seen any of the Addams movie. My dad, things we did not know about my dad until this day. We knew that he worked at the high school, but my dad was like basically a general contractor for a high school mm-hmm. before he retired for like the school district. And he invited all of us. He was like, do you guys want to go to the school play? Like, it's the high school play. It's the Addams Family. Let's all go out to the school play. Okay. Really played it cool.
Yeah.
And in the opening credits or the bows and the closing credits, they come over the speaker and they were like, we would like to thank Bruce Adams for helping the theater department after hours build all of these sets. He had not told us that he had been sneaking around with the theater kids building the sets for the Addams Family. And it was elaborate. I will say these high school changed sets like every 10 minutes and they all moved. My dad helped them build them after hours.
That means everything to me.
And my mom and I were like, how did you not tell us that you were getting like a special applause at the play?
As a retired theater kid, that is the coolest I've ever heard. That's so sweet. He used his powers for good. He used his textbook for good.
And you know, you've met my dad. He is very quirky and funny, but he's nice and lovely. But he has a soft spot for kids specifically. And all of my nieces and nephews are obsessed with my dad because he's not like touchy, lovey, feely, but he had a soft spot for these theater kids. And damn it, he was helping them build these sets.
Your dad's
could you
like,
even imagine?
He's
like,
he's the epitome of like nonchalant, mm-hmm. but he's nonchalant, but he's like built you something phenomenal. He's
right.
He's like, here's this bookshelf. I really thought it would look good in your house.
We've decided his thing is he has to feel useful in some way. So if you want to like hang out, you have to be like, all right. And can you unplug my toilet? Like, like can you do a task while you're here? And that's how he shows like his emotion.
That's like my grandma. She's the epitome. I call her my grandma. She was my family had four children and thus they needed an extra pair of hands or else the house would burn down. And so Marie has been with my family since I was two. She is my grandma. She's from Guatemala and her love language is if anyone is in her vicinity not physically eating food, it's a problem for her. So this morning when she was over at our house and she was making breakfast and when I said I didn't want breakfast, she looked at Morgan. She goes, you're having pancakes. having pancakes.
She can see it all over my face. Yeah, because Brooke's not a breakfaster and I am.
Not.
I wake up starving. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I always have.
There are some days, though, recently, and don't know what's going on with me. I wake up craving steak. Psycho. Psycho.
No, I think that means you're deficient in something.
I don't know. But I wake up craving like
I forget what it is.
Protein, like anemic.
Yes, like low iron or something.
But no, it's really funny. That is really sweet of him, though.
Oh, I love people that will cook for me and unplug my toilets and, you know, all the things. You know, the funniest thing about my dad, because we're getting spooky scary again, can we talk about the funniest funeral that I ever did go to?
And that sounds okay. Funny, yeah.
I would never say anything bad about my grandparents on my dad's side. Rest in peace to both of them. But I did not really know them. And because my dad was a little like estranged from his family, he grew up with his grandpa mainly. So my dad, like, we weren't as close with them as we are Grandma Janice, who we all know and love. And my dad and I had gone on a road trip to Utah. And this was supposed to be like kind of like my big break into like building a close relationship with my grandparents, who I never see. Because my brothers were a little closer with them because they were older, but mm-hmm. I never really got to know them. And we made an appointment with them. Like, my dad had to call and be like, hey, my daughter wants to come meet you guys. Like, we want to hang, like, get to know each other again. We made an appointment and we show up at the door, and they had put a sign on the door that said, you missed it. Sorry. Like, we're not here anymore. We left. So I didn't really ever. So this is context. Okay. The funeral wasn't like devastating to me because when I was a kid, this happened when I was maybe 15, 16, but I really didn't know them. So I wasn't like distraught. If anything happened, if anyone laid a hand on my grandma now, I would absolutely lose it. I would go ballistic.
Me too.
So this was right when my brother started dating Shane. So Shane was also at my like hunky-dory Utah family funeral. And we were all like getting in the van, going to the funeral. And it was at their house. And we get to this house, and someone had arranged for there to be like a band. There was like a violin and like a cellist and all these things. And they were going to do this beautiful like religious service in their house. So we're all sitting like in the living room. Everyone's packed in, like everyone's getting quiet. It's about to be this sentimental
reverent moment,
beautiful moment where we all remember my dear grandma Mia, who like rest in peace, sister. And they start to like, you know, the band starts playing and everyone's getting like sniffling. And I don't know who this person is. I think maybe she's like my great aunt or something. I don't even know her name. That's why it's funny. She knows that this big elaborate thing is about to happen, and her phone, as old people's phones do, rings at full volume, like absolutely blaring, like the most grandma ringtone, like dong, 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 dong. And she picks up her phone, and everybody's kind of like, oh, this is embarrassing. Like, it's like when your phone rings mm-hmm. in like a theater or church or whatever. Mm-hmm. She picks up the phone and it's like someone on the line, and all we hear, the room has gone silent. The band has stopped playing. She goes, oh no, I'm not busy. Like, what's up? And she, it's like all like these random ass family members that I have from Utah. And Shane looked at me like,
Is this real?
Like, is this a typical family event? And I was like, I don't know any of these people, to be honest with you. And she's like, oh yeah, like Sally's doing good. She just graduated high school. Meanwhile, the guy with the violin thing is waiting to get back on the mark. It was so damn funny.
How long did she talk for?
Probably like 2 or 3 minutes. And we just let her do it. It was so.
That's Brooke, so funny.
I can't even explain to you how funny it was. What were we talking about?
We were talking about the funniest funeral you've ever been to, because we're getting into the spooky season spirits.
Ooh,
early.
Ooh, skis.
Our spooky season is all year round. It's some days we wake up and we're like, today's a day. Today is one of the days that we're going to get into the spooky spirit. It's kind of a state of mind. And the sun is going down all around us, and we have a few scary stories to share.
I'm so excited. Can I tell them the scariest thing that happened to me?
Yes.
Not that I just didn't go on a whole rant about my
now
passed away grandmother. Rest in peace, Mia. I'm sure we would have been buddies in a couple years before.
I can't believe they snooze you lose you. They
Isn't
literally
that
said snooze you lose. You were late. That's really,
you
they
know,
stood on business.
So, update on my life. My grandma came to stay with me last week for like an extended stay because
sleepover party.
My mom had gone on like, my mom has a corporate job, which I don't know if people know that. My mom has a real corporate job. She had to go on her yearly work trip to Nebraska. My grandma wanted to come stay with me, and I was like, yeah, we'll have like a week together. We can have a little sleepover. And we were having so much fun. And my grandma will sometimes get like really emotional about like the past. I think that's something that old people do. She's like, because she doesn't remember yesterday for anything, but she remembers 20 years ago like it was yesterday. And she asked me that. She was like, was it upsetting for you when your other grandparents stood you up and like didn't want to hang out with you? And I was like, damn, like we're eating KFC on a Tuesday. No. And you're going to hit me with these deep, dark questions. And I was like, no, grandma. I had such a good Grandma Janice that I never felt any lack for anything else. And then she was like, this is the best day ever. I'm like, yeah, no.
That's funny because that's how I feel with Maria, because I'm not really close with my grandparents. And with Maria, I feel like I got like the grandma times 20.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's funny. Like
one good one makes up for them all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
A grandma is a state of mind too.
Grandma, my grandma is so precious and so is yours. Mm. Anyway, all has been going crazy at my house, you guys.
We need to talk about
it. I haven't told anyone this really, maybe the Tron only because I've been giving live updates as they happen. If anybody remembers, this specifically started happening in my breakup video last year where I was documenting that on my property all the time, I had this three-legged deer that I had named. She has 3.5 legs. Okay. People like to correct me all the time. Either way, the can't walk. Like
she has a nub, damn it.
She's missing half of her left back leg. And it is like cut in such a very specific way that you know it's her when you see her. And she just always looks a little disheveled. Oh my gosh. My heart breaks for her. But anyway, last year around March, I started seeing this three-legged deer and I called her Trixie, try as in tripod, you know, like leaning into who she is. I would feed her little apples, which I know the animal police are going to come for me.
Hell.
The police are going to come for me.
She doesn't have a leg. Give her a break. She needs a snack.
If I'm a criminal for feeding a disabled deer, sue me. Take me
lock
to jail.
Me up. Lock
if that's
me
a
up.
Crime, lock me up. Give me the electric chair because I will stand 10 toes down on the fact. And this is what breaks my heart. Is she, because you know, all the deers travel in a tribe. They all have a group. They all have a crew. They all have a little party to travel with. She is always by herself and it breaks my heart. And I put this in my breakup video and all of the people were digging deep into it, making me emotionally attached to the deer, damn it. And they were like, oh my gosh, Morgan, she's there because you guys are both loners. And like, that's just like, you guys are supposed to like build a pack together. Like you guys are the outsiders and you're like the weirdos and you're trying to like build a community within each other and show each other that you can do it. I'm like, yeah, me and the three-legged deer, we have so much in common. Like nobody wants to be in our pack. And like, I'm disheveled at this point. Like, I'm like, yeah, we can live at this house alone together. No one wants to be here with us. It's fine. Everything's okay. And that's why I felt like a motherly need to like help her because she didn't have a tribe. God forbid you help a disabled deer.
God forbid.
Okay. And then I went on a trip for like 2 weeks to my brother's house. And when I came back, she was gone. And I was like, oh my God, she thought I like abandoned her, left ship. I've been mourning this for months. Like it haunts me. Like, oh my God, this deer was depending on me for emotional support. It would literally sit on my back porch and we would stare at each other and eat dinner. It was crazy. I had a spiritual soul tie with this three-legged deer, you guys. Okay. And then I thought I fucked up. Like I left somebody who needed me. And all of a sudden I am now starting to talk about like my exit plan, right? Like softly, I'm soft launching, like maybe I'll move out of this house. Maybe I have a new chapter on the way. Maybe I'll like find myself somewhere new in the foreseeable future. And I've been getting the weirdest things that have been happening. The three-legged deer out of nowhere returns. You know, it's, and people could say, Morgan, it's a different one. It's not. I am 100,000,000% certain it is my three-legged deer showed up at my garage, was waiting for me. Okay. And she's been showing up again. And now I'm a little worried. I'm like, oh God, I'm here. Is she going to think I abandoned her again? Weird though, because I thought she got hit by a car or something.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, she like,
whatever happened, it was ugly. Yeah. It was not cute because she doesn't have anyone to protect her. She can't walk very easily. Yeah. So I was devastated for months. Like, oh my God, somebody hit the deer with their car and it's my fault. 100%. Now she's back. Okay.
Best news ever.
What are the chances that the disabled deer makes it back to me? Okay.
Best news ever.
The other day, my grandma, it's like day four of my grandma being here, which a part of me thinks, and I know this is kooky crazy, and I know you're all going to look at me and say, Morgan, you've actually lost it. You lost us when you were talking to the lights with Shane in the closet. Now you're double losing us.
Right.
I think my grandma stirred up something in the universe that made the old people that lived on the land before me, the lady and the man of the land, I don't know if they were like, oh my God, we're so happy that your grandma is here, because my grandma met them, And you mm-hmm. did too.
I did too.
Or I don't know if it's because I'm like, they can tell that I'm like trying to leave and they're like, no, like you have to stay here. Don't know. Still trying to figure it out. But I have my property is built in a circle and mm-hmm. there's a very specific reason. And I don't know if I've ever told this on YouTube before, but there's a specific reason that my house was built in a circle. And the guy that had built my house in like 1970, whatever, he was a train conductor and he wanted to bring, like he was a train conductor at Tiny Town, wanted to bring one of his trains home with him and set it up on his property, which is why there's a barn. The barn housed the train. The barn wasn't meant for a barn. It wasn't meant to hold animals. It literally had a Tiny Town train inside. And you can see, because they obviously sold the train and sold the tracks once he passed away, but you can see like the outline of the railroad and mm-hmm. where it was. And so coming up my driveway, you can see they have a big railroad crossing sign. And when they started demoing my house, they were like, do you want us to take it down? I'm like, no, you can't take that. I'm not messing with anything that they put up. There's all these big crosses. I have crosses that are like 10 feet tall in my yard. And I'm like, I don't know what's under there and I'm not going to find out.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
It is not my business. If they put it there, it's there for a reason. I'm not going to take it out. But there is this huge railroad sign that has these two blinking red lights. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that is so cool. Who has a railroad sign at their house that blinks red that tells people stay out of my house? And when the electricians were doing all of the like demo work on my house, I was like, hey, I have these like weird lights outside. Do you know how to turn them on? And he was like, girl, those are dead. They've been dead. They're never going to work again. We don't know like even where the line is. Like it's somewhere stuck under the ground. Like when we put like the, you know, those little zappers that they mm-hmm. use to see how much voltage something has, they put the voltage thing into it. They're like, girl, this is dead. Like there's nothing here. I go to take my trash down the other day, which, you know what my grandma said that was iconic? Am I going crazy right now? I feel like I'm talking a million miles a minute.
No, I'm locked in. I'm so locked in.
This is the most I've ever had to say.
Keep talking.
Anyway.
What was the iconic thing your grandma said?
I told my grandma, I said, oh, I'll be right back. Like, I got to take the trash out. It's trash day. I got to wheel it down the asphalt. What's it called?
Asphalt
driveway. And she's like, ugh, I cannot believe you don't have someone to do that for you. And I said, I know that's right.
We're working on it, Grandma. We're working on it.
So I do what I do. I'm the man of the house, doing my man of the house
in your blue duties
in my new slippers as I do in my Skims pajamas. Me.
Damn it.
Rolling down the rainy trash can. And I start walking back up the driveway. And I'm like, I literally, like, it is rare for something to stop me in my tracks. I verbally had my breath sucked out of my lungs. The lights, I will insert a video here. They were flashing red, blinking back and forth, not dead at all, aliver than my grandma. When she sees the KFC in the distance, she was alive, honey. She was blinking and she was ready for a good time. What am I supposed to do with that information? I don't know. I sent it to Shane because I know that he was the only person that would validate my thought and my theory. And he said, it's a sign. And I said, what's the sign? That's what I'm trying to figure out. There's all these signs, weird things happening all in the same week. But what does it mean? That's what I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Are they mad at me? Do they mm-hmm. tell that I'm trying to leave? Are they saying it's okay if you leave? A part of me thinks, because the deer and I were like loners together, I think maybe it's a sign that you can always come back if you want to. You can always come back home if you want to. When you're ready, you can always come back. The lights, I don't know how to explain that or what that means. I'll ponder it. I'll let you know. That's all I have to say.
I've never once gotten the vibe that having met the woman, the lady of the land, if you will, I think she would 100% support you. Because your life was so different back when you bought the place.
Oh, yeah. I never feel
so sweet.
Scared there.
No.
Only when that one weird thing happened with the cross, but maybe we did that on our own.
Yeah.
I've never felt like at night, though, you know, when you are mm-mm. somewhere random and you feel the spooks, I've never felt like bad energy.
That's a house that like I would be okay going into the basement at night alone in.
Yeah, I like, never feel weird.
It would be like a problem.
So I
even this house, I wouldn't do that.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, I was going to ask you, have you ever slept here alone, like completely by yourself?
Yes.
And is it a little like spooky?
There are a couple ghost stories in this house.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
My sister Sloan has some crazy ghost stories in this house.
Are you serious?
Uh-huh. There was a... Oh my God, now I'm freaked out.
There's, oh God, while we're here by ourselves? Yeah. Brooke's parents left us here unsupervised.
Yeah, we literally are about to throw a house party.
With all of our friends.
House party, you're all invited. No, there is documentation that there was Native American burial grounds, like on our property.
Mm. Oh.
And we live on like a lot of acreage. Like this house is like on a lot of acres, like a lot of land in like horse country. And long story short, there is a story that my sister Sloan says is like probably one of like her more prolific, that the her sleep paralysis story that I told during Potoween, that happened in this house. And my sister also has this crazy story of my dad and her were the only ones here. Like I was away at a sleepover. I think like my mom and sisters were, my other sisters were all sleeping. Like it was just, they were the only ones awake. And my dad was in the living room and Sloan was fixing some, like she wanted to make some like tea for herself or something. So she's in the kitchen and she is like, has her back turned to the kitchen. And she says that she heard my dad walk in the room and say, "Hey, Sloan," in his voice. And she starts talking to my dad. He's like, "Oh, Dad, like, do you want anything? Like, I'm making this." And he doesn't respond again. And she turns around and no one is there. Like, no one is there. And she starts saying, like, "Dad, like, Dad," like calling for him. And my dad was halfway across the house, like in his bedroom the entire time. And Sloan was like, she's like the least dramatic person you could possibly ever meet. And she was rattled so badly that I think she like slept in my room for like a month. She was so scared.
Doesn't
this house feel just like,
I have never felt it. And I don't know if it's just because we've been like talking about like, oh, we're going to film like a spooky, scary episode. But when I was just walking from the bathroom past the kitchen to over here, so I passed the kitchen. When I was passing through the kitchen, I was like, huh, I wonder if Brooke's ever like looked for any ghosts here like that. And I've never, ever thought that here.
I've never looked for them because you know
you me. Don't want to. Well, yeah, that's the same reason I don't want to look at my house. I'm like, uh-oh.
If I went looking, I know I'd find something.
We'd rather not know.
But this house is one of those houses where like I wouldn't be pleased going into the basement by myself at night. Or like,
has anything ever happened to you?
I mean, yes and no. Like, I think it's hard for me because there is one story that like is actually kind of weird.
Are you going to make us beg?
Yes. Beg me, Blondie.
Please.
So
tell us, Miss Brooke.
My mom is super, super cool. She's super
into, oh, I'm her like, biggest fan in the entire world.
Oh yeah. She's super into like new age, kind of like, she's very spiritual, very locked in, very open to lots of different things. And when we were in we lived in like a cul-de-sac, like when I was younger, and I moved into this house with like my little, like it was me, my sister Sloan, I think my sister Reese was like an infant, or maybe my mom was like pregnant with her. Like it was when we were really little, and I was having these night terrors. Like I would get so scared of my dreams that I would sleep by my bedroom door because I just wanted out of there so bad. And my mom heard from like a friend, like, "Oh, you should try feng shui." And feng shui is essentially like, I believe it's Chinese. And it's how the placement of furniture with your star signs and something like how based on like the stars when you were born, it impacts like how your house should be, or mm-hmm. like how like the direction you sleep. This is, again, I'm very, very novice when it comes to it, but from my understanding,
big one is like not having mirrors facing each other because it yes. creates a portal and you don't know what's coming through your portals.
Yes. And so she had this woman come over who was like a feng shui like master. And this woman was like, oh, your daughters need to switch rooms immediately because the way that she's sleeping is she's being impacted very negatively. And if you switch their rooms, they're going to be perfectly fine. And it worked. Like, I stopped having night terrors. Sloan started sleeping through the night. Like, it worked. Great.
That is so weird.
So we move into this house, like, years and years later. I think I moved into this house when I was in, like, the third grade.
Oh, that was at your other house.
That was at the cul-de-sac okay. house.
I'm following.
So I moved into this house when I was in the third or fourth grade. And I was the oldest, so I got the biggest bedroom upstairs. And I was right. like, this is where I belong. I'm a flipping princess. This rocks.
Yeah, my little tater tot sisters yeah, deserve I'm like, none of this.
Toodaloo, see you later. And so I, you would know this, but I, Reese's room was my room. Mm. And my room was Kate's room. And
weird.
And Kate's room was Reese's room. And Sloan was the only one that stayed in that. That's the room has been hers the whole time.
So you guys all did a little flip flop.
Because when I moved into this house in the fourth grade, I Scary was Barry, having.
You know the girl.
And again, you guys, I will be the first to admit. And I know you guys are going to be shocked when I say this. I can be, have been known to be a little dramatic.
Shocker. What?
Shocker. No. I know. The crowd goes crazy.
Who
I
you?
Have been known to go and be a little dramatic.
You're God just forbid. Theatrical.
God forbid. My mom would say, save the drama for the stage, Brooke. All right, lady.
I'm going to start saying that.
Save the drama for the stage.
I always tell her, don't trip chocolate chip.
She does. And then I'm like, she does. But no, again, take this with a grain of salt, but Potoween did change my opinion on this story, actually, because I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Like, I was seeing and hearing shit that actually was caught on camera. So maybe I wasn't nuts. But basically, I only was in that room for 6 or so months because I was having this recurring experience where you're going to think I'm crazy. You guys are going to actually think I'm nuts. I would wake up in the middle of the night, and this would happen probably on average once every like couple weeks. I would open my eyes, and the way that the bedroom's like designed is it's a bed facing a hallway, and the hallway, it's like this tiny little hallway going into like a closet to your left, closet door to your left, and then the bathroom is like through this little hallway. And in the archway, I would see someone like hanging and like swaying like left to right.
Cause the bed looks directly into the archway.
Right.
Like you're laying there and you can see the archway. Right.
And I would see this like silhouette of this figure like hanging and swinging. And I would like get so scared. I sleep with the same baby blanket that I've had my whole life. And I remember just like wrapping my head in it before I went to sleep because I was so scared that I would wake up and like look and see that again. And I saw it multiple times. Probably saw it like 3 or 4 times while sleeping in that room. And my other sisters were having nightmares as well. So like my mom's like, oh man, like I've been through this before. I know what to do. So she calls the same feng shui lady, and the feng shui lady came and was like, whoa, switch her room immediately. She points right at me. And I was like, no, like that's the big room.
I've already been through this. That's the one with the best bathroom, damn it.
He does have the best bathroom. And I was like, do I really have to switch rooms? And I forget what she said, but it was some like something with the way that the stars were when I was born was like, you are being very prone to like negativity when you're sleeping this way. I don't know. Because how weird. They move my little sister's crib out of her room. They do a swap of like 3 of us into different rooms. And I have never slept better ever.
Really?
It was immediately. Like, I never was scared again.
You never saw the hanging person again?
Ever again.
Did your sister ever have an experience where she saw the same thing?
I don't think so. I've never talked to her about it, Reese, about it, but.
Because she wouldn't want to freak her out. Like,
I've never really heard Reese talk about ghost stuff. I know Sloan has had other crazy experiences. Like, she told me once, she came into my room. This was like probably like 2 p.m. one day, like on the weekend. We're young. We're probably like, I was probably in like 6th grade. She's probably in 5th grade or something. She like comes into my room and she's like, do you see the kids playing in the backyard?
Oh, hell no.
And I was like,
hell no.
I was like, what? She's like, they're like across. There's like a creek in the backyard. She's like, they're across the creek, like playing in the backyard. Like, who are they? And I was like, what? She's like, yeah, I just saw them out my window. She's like, come look. And we walk over to the window and there's no one there. And so we actually go out into the backyard and there's like nothing there. And she looks at me so sincerely. And she's like, there was like 4 kids out here playing.
And you're deciding to tell me this now that we can't see what's out these windows. You're deciding to tell me this the first night of our entire decade long friendship that we've ever decided to sleep in this house without the guardians of her parents watching us.
I mean,
now is when you tell me.
I mean, you asked.
I did. Well,
this house does creak. It does creak. It's an old house.
Right.
But honestly, and my mom has said this, nothing here has ever felt negative.
I don't think your mom would stay somewhere that felt negative. And I know for sure that we're safe.
Even the hanging thing, I do think that was a figment of my imagination. Like, as scary as it was, it wasn't like, I don't even recall that. Like, even when I say it out loud, it was never like terrifying to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that says, but
I think that you just didn't feel threatened.
No, nothing ever about this place has ever felt truly maybe alarming, but like never negative ever.
All right. Yeah, this is like my favorite place ever for some reason.
No, it's really good vibes. No, the only time I've ever felt truly threatened was when I lived in Hollywood and I lived in like a kind of haunted apartment there.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And you go outside and it's just scary in the broad daylight.
Well, and then I found out that the floor I lived on was the floor that like had the most deaths.
Great. And do you remember that Netflix documentary about the Hotel Cecil?
Yes, I do.
In downtown LA. Mm-hmm. That was one. I feel like that was kind of the start of true crime documentaries really being a huge thing. Because I don't remember growing up or even being in like pre-COVID watching like huge true crime things like that that were on like Hulu, Netflix, Disney. That was the first one that really shook
me. Didn't they tear the hotel down?
I believe it's something else now.
Yeah.
Anyway, do you want to tell us some of your stories that you went searching for?
So when Morgan and I did the Dear David deep dive video, I was inspired because one of my favorite places on the internet is the Reddit r/nosleep. Have you been?
No.
Okay.
No, I've never rang that doorbell.
They specialize. The whole niche of it is creepypasta stories that people write in.
Okay.
And they're all designed to be like from like a writer's perspective. And there are 3 that stood out to me that I do have saved. I don't know how much.
Gold.
I don't know how many we'll get through today, but.
Prepare to not sleep tonight, friends. I don't know about you.
All
right. I'm ready to have the shart scared out of me again.
As you know, I have been known to camp out in the comments. I am becoming a little bit more reformed. The vibes are, I am trying to listen to people who are smarter than me. And when Shane looks at you and says, get your ass out of the fucking comments, Blondie, you might need to listen. And so I've been cautiously in the comments, but I do know from the past that sometimes scary stories aren't for everyone. This is a scary story. So if that is not for you, skip ahead. You have been warned.
Go watch the last one. We were being so wholesome.
Yeah.
We were talking about friendship and growth.
And farting.
And gay guys. And
la, la, la. Okay. The name of this submission is My Mother Hides Inside Her Closet Every Night. I grew up without siblings. Back then, it was just me, my mom, and my dad in our home in a rural area around Detroit. My parents always tried their best to give me every opportunity, even though money was tight, and they did a pretty good job. I'm now the owner and founder of a fairly successful construction company, living my best life with my beautiful wife and our two daughters in a two-story home. My father passed away a few years ago, so my mother had been living alone in the house where I grew up. As she got older, she began having more and more difficulty taking care of everything by herself. Since I couldn't always be there to help her, I finally convinced her to sell the house and move into a beautiful, highly rated retirement home in East Detroit. I thought I had made the right decision. Professionals could take care of her and I could focus on my business and my family. But the day she moved in, her health began to decline rapidly. I started receiving calls from the nurses and doctors almost every week. They told me her mental state was worsening, that she refused to eat or take medication. But the worst part, the part that made my stomach turn, was what they told me about her nights. Every morning, they didn't find her in her bed. They found her sitting inside her closet, awake, shaking, crying. When they asked her why she kept doing that, she always refused to answer. She would just tell them to leave her alone. So I went to visit her. When I asked her directly why she was getting into the closet every night, she looked at me with tears in her eyes and said my father wouldn't have wanted me to put her there. She wanted to go back to her old house. And then she broke down crying and told me to leave. On the drive back, my thoughts were racing. One idea kept forcing its way to the front. What if the staff were mistreating her? If it would explain everything, her fear, her silence. So I did something I thought was justified at the time. I stopped at Walmart and bought a baby monitor. Later that night, while my mother was having dinner, I slipped into her apartment and set it up in the corner of her bedroom, aimed directly at her bed. And then I left and I went home, had dinner with my family, and tried to get some work done. Around 9 p.m., I checked the monitor. Everything seemed normal. My mother got into bed, turned off the light, and went to sleep. Nothing unusual. I left the feed running in the background. About 2 hours later, something changed. My mother suddenly jolted awake. She didn't move at first, just laid there staring at the door, completely still. Then, without warning, she sprang out of bed. Not like someone waking up, but like something was forcing her. She rushed into the closet, climbed inside and slammed it shut. I stared at the screen. My heart was pounding. After a few seconds, I grabbed my keys and I drove. The streets were empty and I got there fast. When I entered the building, the reception desk was empty, no staff in sight. I ran to her apartment, unlocked the door, and rushed straight into her bedroom. Then I went to the closet. I opened it. There she was, curled up, shaking, and crying. I asked her what was going on, what she was doing, why she was acting like this. She slowly raised her hand and pointed behind me to the bed. Only then I saw the pale, hairless, humanoid creature sitting there staring at us.
Great. Great.
The first response was...
What a beautiful mother bonding experience.
The first response was, so what did you do about it? So did you fix it? Did you get it?
Yeah, what are you supposed to do with that information? Say we're checking out right now and we're never coming back. We're getting a one-way exit ticket.
The thought on something preying on sweet old elderly people that are like gluing their teeth in at night. Damn. Fuck you.
Go for the children, damn it. Yeah.
Stick to doing Bloody Mary in a kid's bathroom. Shit.
I just don't know what you do with that information, how you process that, and then where you take your mom.
I know.
What do you tell the staff? Do you leave a bad Yelp review? Like, hey, there's demon humanoids in this place. Ugh.
The thought of seeing your mom like tucked in a closet, like rocking back and forth is the eeriest thought ever. The smoke detector in my hallway has been blinking Morse code and I made the mistake of translating it.
Okay. Mm-mm.
I want to start by saying I'm not a paranoid person. I don't check my locks twice. I don't believe in ghosts. I have never once in my life thought that something was watching me. I'm saying this because what I'm about to describe has made me into someone I don't recognize, and I need to write it down before I convince myself it isn't happening.
3 weeks ago, I noticed the smoke detector in my hallway was blinking wrong. Every smoke detector blinks. The little red LED pulses once or twice every 30 or 40 seconds to tell you the battery is fine. Mine has done that for the 2 years I've lived here. Steady, predictable, background noise you stopped seeing after the first week. On March 3rd, it started blinking in clusters. Two quick blinks, pause. Three quick blinks, pause. One long blink. It wasn't steady anymore. It had a rhythm. I stood in the hallway watching it for about 5 minutes before I decided it was a battery issue, told myself to replace it on the weekend, and went back to bed.
Oh, and then you have that awful chirping noise until every like 20 seconds until you replace it. A few weeks ago,
Jacob and I had to go on a wild goose chase around our house finding the chirper because
I did the same. Awful. And it's so loud. You're like, how is this little machine so loud?
The thought of you having to do that goose chase by yourself makes me really sad.
You know what? This is actually making me really scared, Brooke, because when I first got home from our LA trip, I got home and the fire alarms kept going off. And like full, like she comes over the thing and is like, fire, 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 fire. And I was like, bitch, there's no fire. Okay. So I go on a wild goose chase trying to find the bad one, replace the battery. Wake up the next day, the fire alarms are still going off. And I was like, I'm going to lose it. I literally dismantled the whole thing.
Anyway. It's really weird with everything else going on.
Yeah, I'm starting. That just gave me a chill down my spine because I was like, oh, there's another weird thing that happened in the past week. Anyway, back to you.
It's really weird. The next night, I noticed it again. Same clusters, same rhythm. Different pattern than the night before. I'm an amateur radio hobbyist. I got my license in college mostly because of a girl I liked was into it, and I never let it go after she did. I mention this because it means I know Morse code. Not fluently, but enough. I wasn't thinking about Morse code when I watched the detector blink, but at some point my brain started parsing the clusters automatically the way you start reading subtitles even when you speak the language. And I realized the blinks weren't random. They spelled my name. My full first name. Seven letters, repeated three times, then a pause, then it started again. I stood in my hallway at 11 p.m. watching a smoke detector blink my name at me, and I want to tell you that I felt scared, but that's not accurate. I felt embarrassed. Like I was the kind of person who sees the shapes in the clouds and think they mean something. I told myself I was
wrong with those.
I told myself I was pattern matching, seeing signal and noise. The human brain does this. I know this. And so I went to bed. The next night, I set up my phone to record the detector. I let it run from midnight to 6 a.m. In the morning, I played the footage back at 2x speed and described every blink. Midnight to 1:15 a.m., it blinked my name on loop. 1:15 to 3:40 a.m., it blinked, I can see you from here.
You're kidding me.
3:40 a.m. to 5:55 a.m. It blinked. You look different when you sleep. I sat at my kitchen table with my transcription notebook and I read those sentences four times. My hands were doing something they've never done before. Not shaking. Vibrating. This fast. A fine tremor like my bones were humming. I took the smoke detector off the ceiling. Standard battery powered unit. No Wi-Fi, no smart features, no connection to anything. I opened the battery compartment. 9 volts, slightly corroded. I removed the battery, I put the detector on the kitchen counter. The LED blinked once. Without a battery, without power of any kind. One single blink. I watched it for 10 minutes after that. Nothing. Just the one. I threw it in the dumpster behind my building. I bought a new one from the hardware store the next morning, installed it, new battery, tested it, normal, steady, blink. I felt stupid for how relieved I was. That night, the new detector blinked normally until 1 a.m. Then the cluster started. You threw me away. I transcribed it in real time, standing in my hallway in the dark. My phone light pointed at the ceiling, notebook in my other hand. You threw me away. But I am not the detector. I'm in the ceiling. I've always been in the ceiling. The detector is just how I talk to you.
I hate this one. I actually hate it.
I stopped transcribing. I stood there for a long time looking up. My ceiling is standard drywall, off-white, a small water stain near the bathroom from a leak the landlord fixed before I moved in. Nothing unusual, nothing wrong, just a ceiling. It blinked again. Don't take this one down. It's dark up here without the light, and I need to see you to make sure you're still safe.
Chills. I actually have chills on my legs. If you think I'm going to sleep in my own bed tonight, you're wrong.
Are you finally going to sleep in my bed?
Yes!
Damn it. If I knew this is all I had to do to get you.
Ew, I live in the ceiling. Don't throw me away.
No, it's a
gulp.
You threw me away, but I'm not in the detector. I'm in the ceiling. I've always been in the ceiling. The detector is just how I talk to you.
I hate it so much. I hate it.
So it says, don't take this one down. It's dark up here without the light, and I need to see you to make sure you're still safe. I need to explain why that sentence broke something in me. Everything before that was frightening. My name, I can see you, you look different when you sleep. All that is threatening. I can process threatening. Threatening means that something wants to hurt you and you can respond to that. But I need to see you to make sure you're still safe is not threatening. It's protective. Something inside my ceiling has been watching me through a smoke detector LED, and it thinks it's keeping me safe.
From what?
It's not angry that I threw the old one away. It's worried that without the light, it can't watch me properly. I don't know which is worse, something in your ceiling that wants to hurt you or something in your ceiling that loves you. I set up a small webcam on my bookshelf with the lens aimed at the hallway ceiling. I set it to record all night. I reviewed the footage the next morning. The detector blinked in clusters all night. I didn't transcribe those. I was focused on something else in the footage. At 3:47 a.m., for exactly 11 seconds, the red LED stopped blinking and turned solid, continuous light. And in the solid red glow, pressed flat against the ceiling around the smoke detector, there was a face. Not behind the ceiling, not inside the drywall, pressed against the surface, like someone lying face down on the other side of a glass floor. The features were compressed, flattened, the way a child presses their face against a window. But the proportions were wrong. The face was too wide, the mouth was too long, and it was looking straight down through the detector into the hallway where I sleep. I paused the footage. I zoomed in. I don't know what I expected. Something monstrous? Something alien? Something I could point to and say that is not human? That is other? That is something I can categorize and therefore manage? But the face is mine. Not similar to mine. Mine. My forehead, my nose, the scar above to the left, my left eyebrow from when I was 12. My face pressed against the ceiling from the other side, looking down the hallway where I was sleeping, wearing an expression I have never made. But every feature is correct. But the expression is wrong. It's the way you look at food when you haven't eaten in days. Not anger, not menace, hunger. Deep, patient, desperate hunger. And it's smiling.
Ew, I actually hate this experience that I'm having right now. That's like some parallel universe.
I haven't slept in the hallway since.
Move! Why are you sleeping there at all?
I moved my mattress to the living room. The smoke detector in the living room blinks normally. I check it every night, and so far the clusters haven't followed me. But last night at 2 a.m., I woke up and just looked at the living room detector. And it blinked once, just once, out of rhythm. I lay in the dark for 3 hours watching it. It didn't do it again. This morning, I found a crack in the living room ceiling that wasn't there yesterday. Small, barely visible. I keep telling myself it's just a crack. And I'm posting this because I need someone to tell me what to do. I can't call my landlord and say there's a face in my ceiling. I can't break my lease because a smoke detector blinked my name.
Can't he show him the tapes?
But I can't keep living somewhere under something that looks like me and watches me sleep with a face that hungry. The hallway detector is still blinking in clusters. I can see it from where I'm sitting. I'm not going to translate it. I'm not going to translate it. It blinked my name again. I could tell without translating. You learn the rhythm of your own name faster than you think. And the crack in the living room ceiling is slightly longer than it was this morning.
Oh my God, it's going to break through the universe, the parallel universe.
I measured it with a ruler before I started writing this. It was 4 inches. It's 4.5 now. Something in my ceiling is following me room by room. It has my face. It thinks it's protecting me. And it's getting closer. I don't think the ceiling is going to hold much longer. And I don't think that when it comes through, it's going to look like me by the time it arrives.
And what I'd be more worried about is, what is it trying to protect you from?
The concept of, like, you know, when you're like listening to, like, you're like listening through a wall and your face is like, like the thought of like looking up at something and seeing like that looking down at you.
I can't even comprehend it. It doesn't make sense in my brain.
Someone says, talk to it, ask it questions, at least try and find out what it is and what it wants.
Yeah, say, who are you? Why do you look like me? Oh my God. What do you want from me?
You know what's so scary about this? This isn't like some like famous, like some of these posts are like super famous. This one only has like 400 upvotes.
Damn.
Like it's not like
underrated post.
Like there are some people that write into this subreddit and people like the theory is that some of these are like real. Like people actually like asking for help.
Gulp. Not like fan fiction. Ghost fan. That was my own echo, right? You freaked me out, Brooke. I'm sorry.
No, this house
I'm
is not
scared
scary.
Out.
Sorry. No, this house isn't scary. You have nothing to fear.
You're not the one facing the dark windows.
What? Bitch, there are windows on every side. You don't see what I see.
Somehow
I see
it's your fault. I'm like, this is all your fault. You put us here. This episode.
Well, I have one more for you.
Oh my God.
Are we having fun? Yes or no?
I am, but I did not expect these to be so damn scary. I thought we were going to have a silly little ha-ha. What a joke.
I told you I was coming swinging, girl.
Well, last night we were talking about like kind of like alternate timeline theories. Mm-hmm. But like the conspiracy theory basically of there's other versions of yourself living your different life choices, but it's happening and we don't even
know
what's happening.
It's like quantum. So like the idea is like, there is many, 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 many timelines existing all at the same time. And that time isn't this like linear thing. It's more of a three-dimensional thing. And it's all time is happening all around us all the time.
Yeah, it almost seems like he met a different version of himself from like a different timeline. And they were merging and they were breaking the fourth wall. And they were seeing each other and they were like, oh,
you
that's
know what else?
Me.
To that same point, a theory that I feel like people moved on way too fast from is the doppelganger theory.
Oh.
Where it's like there is somewhere out there in the universe a perfect mirror of you. And there's all these like spooky stories about people meeting their doppelgangers in real life and like strange things happening. Like you're not supposed to meet your doppelganger.
Like it would, it like breaks
it's
the.
Like a, it's like a fissure in like reality. Like you're not supposed to meet them. Oh, fucking scary.
Yours might be Alexa Losey.
Do we think Alexa Losey is my doppelganger?
What if it's Noah Cyrus?
I, to this day, and I'm trying really hard, you guys, I don't see Noah Cyrus. Alexa Losey, I can see, but her, I can't. Do I look like Noah Cyrus to you?
We might have to do some side-by-sides.
I don't see it at all, but she's so pretty. It's not. I wouldn't be offended, but I don't see that one.
So we'll have to compare.
So much.
Who do you think we look like? Let us know. Yeah. Who's our doppelganger?
Who is? I have never seen someone that I think looks like you.
Every time someone sends me a picture and they're like, this is what you look like, I'm like, gulp.
I've never seen someone who looks like you. Someone said that I looked like a Fanning sister. Someone's like, you can meet Elle and Dakota's sister. I was like, that is the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me.
One time someone commented on one of my videos and said, you look like Scarlett Johansson if she was fat.
And that is why the comment section might be a little dangerous. God forbid.
Or I've gotten Millie Bobby Brown, which I don't see at all.
I can't even a little bit see that one either.
No, me either. Do you want to go to the last one?
So do you want to read it? Or do you want, are you enjoying listening to me read it in my dramatic voice?
I could give you a break, but the thing is, I have no preface to any of these and you already know them.
No, I don't. These are my these are my first time reading it.
Oh, do you want me to read it then?
I'd be happy to read it. I kind of like the dramatic reading and I kind of like scaring the shit out of you.
You read.
But if you want to read, I will let
go
you.
Go ahead, girl. I'll let you.
Yeah, I'm giving you the day off.
All right, fine. I'll sit back and relax.
Okay. This is our last one. Our last spooky, scary story time for the night.
The last one gave me actual chills in my arms.
And then for the after show, I do have some of my favorite little, what's it called? The Facebook page I love.
Oh, Bite-Sized Mysteries.
Yes. No.
It's called Bite-Sized Crime or something. We'll figure it out.
Modern Mystery. Mm. I have a couple of those. Anyways. Okay.
Granted. What if I just started floating? What would you do? Like, what if I just became like a pile of dust and just like floated into the atmosphere? What would you do?
If someone told me this was all a figment of my f-ing imagination, I would believe them.
Could you imagine like 10 years from now, your family, like, and they all play along with like, yeah, Brooke's friend Morgan.
Yeah, because
it's
podcast.
Very much a thing, like, I'm always invited to the family events now. Her dad's always like, you want to come on vacation with us?
Literally.
And 10 years from now, they're going to be like, Brooke, Morgan wasn't real.
I go, wow, I love my podcast. It's so much fun. It's my favorite thing ever. They go, and it's just me sitting alone in my room, like talking
to no
one.
It's a solo podcast. You play both parts.
Oh my God, I've been locked in a room for years and years and years, and this is all in my head.
Wow.
Wow. Yesterday, my sister Sloan goes, what if I've been dead for years and I have no idea?
Bro, and she was dead ass serious.
And I was like, what do you mean by that? She's like, well, one time I got into a car with a bunch of scary guys and I just thought, this is probably the end of me. And I thought, well, maybe I died then and I just don't know it.
Oh, so you're not here with us.
We go,
you're
hey,
not in the room with us.
Hey, keep that to yourself, freak. Keep that to yourself, freak. You're freaking me out. Okay. This is the final r/no sleep of the night. Are you ready?
I'm not going to sleep. We're going to have to watch something happy after this.
I would be thrilled to do that.
We should watch Titanic. No, we don't.
Titanic!
Brooke, it's my favorite
movie. I
want
to watch it.
Okay,
it's
tomorrow. So good.
Tomorrow we're going to carve out 3 hours to watch it.
Side note. Three? That's so funny that it's so long. There are girls. This is before we get into the next horrific story that's going to make us shiver our timbers. There is a girl that I think you would really enjoy. And she, I know that everyone's against AI. Not everyone. But I know there's a big majority against AI. But all of the comments on her videos are like, this is genuinely like the best use of AI that I've ever seen. And she makes these timepiece vlogs where she like shows like a day in her life if she traveled back to this event in history.
Send that to
and
me.
And she did one where she was like, this is what a day in the life on the Titanic, the night it was sinking, would have been like. And it is so eerily like realistic to the point where historians were commenting and were like, this was phenomenally done for like a fake thing.
See, I think using AI for evil is annoying. Mm-hmm. Using AI
for common sense, bad.
I think using AI for like creative, like, I think that's cool.
Yeah, especially for like visual learners. But I watched this girl's 25-minute vlog about what it would be like to be a passenger on the Titanic if she, the night it was sinking. Oh, I was locked in. I might have to show you that instead of the Titanic.
I would love to watch that.
It is. I don't think I've ever had a niche interest so deep. I fall asleep to Titanic history videos. I think I know everything about it. I don't know what has taken over me. Maybe that's like my coping mechanism, like trying to like reset my brain.
To the ocean?
No. Well, the ocean was not good that night.
Right. Right.
You wouldn't want to be like, in that ocean.
It's like exposure therapy. You're like, this is the worst thing that happened in the ocean. So like, if I can get okay with the Titanic sinking, then maybe I can go swim in the ocean one day.
No, I think it's like, it just helps me calm my nervous system.
Which is really f-ing funny.
like 3 hour long deep dives of like this person's perspective from the Titanic. And you know, I want to take you. It's going to be the most you thing that I've ever done. I'm going to go full Uno reverse. The unsinkable Molly Brown. She was like a big, like huge part of the Titanic sinking. She's one of the like prominent survivors. The unsinkable Molly Brown. Her house is in Denver. She was like a socialite in Denver. And I remember my mom taking me when I was a kid and I was like, what do you mean? Like this ship sank? That's so stupid. Why didn't it just float? Like who cares if she survived? But now I really want to go back and I really want to take you. And we want to see where Molly Brown, the unsinkable Molly Brown
was. This is my dream. This is my dream.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been to the Titanic? There's like an exhibit, like a traveling exhibit. And there's a huge museum in Vegas.
I remember going to something like that, but I was too young to like get it.
I will completely support you in this. And also, if you ever think for a moment that we are even a little bit like not the same person in different fonts, we are, because you're sitting here saying that Titanic singing videos calm your nervous system. You want to know what calms mine?
Uh-oh.
Videos about like anacondas. Like I'll watch like before bed. I watch like snake and spider videos about like the Amazon rainforest and it calms me.
Oh, do you get the guy on Instagram that feeds them to his Venus flytraps, the black widows?
Oh,
I love those ones.
I have a list of nature specific YouTube creators. If you want to know, I will create a list. I have a compiled list. But there is like, I got down this whole rabbit hole about like the most like violent creatures in the Amazon rainforest, and I fell asleep to it 3 nights in a row. But and Jacob's like I'm like looking up videos like huntsman spiders. I'm like, this is the coolest shit I've ever seen. And he's like, Brooke, I'm going to throw up. Like, stop. He's like, stop.
Not
it.
In our bedroom.
And I'm like, what?
It's nighttime activity, duh.
Did you know my first favorite animal was a snake? What does that say about me?
I think that you appreciate things without limbs.
Or like, Lizzie was like, we saw a spider and Lizzie's like, oh my God, kill it. And I was like, Lizzie, you want to know like a freak fact about me? Like when I see a spider in my house, I thank it for being there and I like let it live.
No, I think that's valid because they kill all the things that are more annoying.
Or
I'd rather have a spider than something that flies.
Or like if I'm on the sidewalk, I did this like when I was on the Katy Trail in Dallas, like it had just rained and there was a bunch of earthworms on the sidewalk. And I was like, dude, I don't know the last time I saw an earthworm. And I like went out of my way to pick them up and move them into the soil because I'm like, the bikes are going to kill them. And Jacob was like, why? You're so funny about that. And I was like, well,
it's compassion.
Someone's got to do it. Damn.
Let the earthworms live.
Yeah.
You know, one of the most terrifying things I saw as a kid.
What?
I had this freak neighbor. Okay. First offense of him being a freak neighbor because me and all my neighbor friends.
I love the word freak. I love it.
I had a freak neighbor. And me and all the other neighbor kids got along. Like I had a bestie Marco next to me. I had a bestie Marshall across the street. We all got along. We were all great. There was this oddball down the street, freak neighbor. First sign. We had those Otter Pops, you know, the ones that are frozen.
Yummy.
One day someone's parents forgot to put them in the freezer. So they were melted and we were like, who cares? We're just going to drink the juice. Freak neighbor peed in the like juice one that he drank and then gave it to another neighbor and watched him drink his piss. Freak neighbor move number one. I never got over it. To this day, I've never gotten over it.
Don't you dare move on from this too fast. We must unpack this diabolical behavior. Did you call the local authorities? Did you make him drink his own piss? How was this man avenged? This young boy, how was he avenged? Did anyone punch this kid in the face? What the?
I think I said, I'm done playing today. And I...
And your mom said you're not.
And I walked in my door and I sat on that floor and I was like, Mom, that kid is a freak neighbor.
He pissed in an Otter Pop and said,
it's the pineapple mango one.
Oh, that thing was yellow.
Yellow, as could be. Sick. First of all, drink some water, God forbid.
I just know Linda's going to fucking gag when she watches that. Linda, sorry, Linda. So sorry.
Okay, freak neighbor move number two. No bodily fluids included. He picked up an earthworm and said, you know, there's a theory about earthworms that if you cut them, they become two earthworms. He whipped out his pocket knife. Why did he have a pocket knife at 12? I don't know.
Oh.
Cut the earthworm in half. Mm. And it stayed alive, but I was like, no, I can't watch this. Like, who does that?
Oh, sociopath.
Who does that?
And this man is on the loose. You never know who's living next to you. It could be a piss boy earthworm murderer.
You never know who you're married to. I should find whoever he married and send her a DM.
You should.
You got a freak.
I know what we're doing after this, because he sounds like a weird Sid from Toy Story type kid.
Yes, 100%.
What a weirdo.
Finally, he's getting the shame he deserved.
What a weirdo. Ugh. Ew. God. He must be going through something at home. Because what compels you?
Some kids are just oddballs, because his parents were perfectly normal. I mean, you think. I guess you never know.
God.
Well, that was a nice intermission to us getting
spooked. A nice intermission. This one's kind of the same length as the other one. Do we want to give a small one, or do we have it in us?
I have it in me. I am on a roll today, you guys.
I've never been more proud of my friend. I'm going to be honest with you.
I've been doing cortisol leveling activities.
You're doing really good. And I mean that. And I mean that from my heart of hearts.
We took a break yesterday.
We had a day off and we went to the theater. Okay. Are you ready?
I guess.
For the last 30 years, I have been paid to guard a single gravestone.
Okay. Not a bad gig, I guess. Okay. Is this a 24-hour a day gig? All right, I'll listen.
I've been doing this for over 30 years. 30 years of just sitting and staring at a gravestone. I don't even know who the thing belongs to.
That's longer than our life as it's been in entirety.
Oh my God. You best believe I tried to figure it out, though. I have scanned every pockmarked surface of that stone slab over the last year. And over the years, it's so weathered that the only part of the deceased man's name I can make out is a B and an R. Not much to go off of. I do know that the guy or gal died in 1872. That's it. Just a death date. I don't even know who my employer is. The opportunity fell into my lap in the most literal sense of the phrase. I was 32 at the time. I had just been dumped by the love of my life, and my career in journalism wasn't panning out how I'd hoped. I was feeling particularly down the night that it happened. I got sloppy drunk and wrote the most poorly composed article known to man. Run-on sentences, punctuation mistakes, all out the wazoo, and grammatical errors that would put a preschooler to shame. It was a true abomination. At some point in my mad typing frenzy, I must have dozed off, because I woke up the next day to find that I had fallen asleep at my desk. In my drunken haze, I managed to knock a few papers into my lap, and it was then that I noticed the letter. The stark white envelope bore a wax seal. I instantly knew that it hadn't been there before. I retrieved my letter opener and tore open the envelope. In my groggy state, I had yet to make out the connection. I lived alone, so how had the letter found its way into my lap? I let the envelope fall to the floor as I read the contents within. Dear Mr. Calloway, we are contacting you with an employment opportunity. We have been observing you for quite some time, and we have come to the conclusion that you are the perfect fit for the position. As for the job itself, you will be required to guard a grave at Blackstone Cemetery from sundown to sunup, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Sunday nights, should you accept. You are to contact us immediately if you experience anything out of the ordinary. We hope to hear from you soon. Sincerely, your benefactors.
Yuck. Yuck.
Did you hear that?
I did.
Okay.
Imagine being scouted by letter.
Your benefactors. Like, freak.
Okay.
At the bottom of the letter was a phone number along with my salary should I accept the offer. Even working just 4 days out of the week, it blew my journalism gig out of the water. Of course, I took the whole thing with a grain of salt. I had likely received the letter as a prank and forgotten that I had it. Or maybe it was some strange writing assignment from a teenager. But it had been addressed to me. Whatever the case, I chose to give the number a call. What could it hurt? They picked up immediately after I dialed the number. I heard nothing but static and a shallow breathing from the other end of the line. I only uttered two words before they hung up. I accept. I didn't expect to hear back. I really didn't. I thought I'd been duped, had for a fool. But then the second letter came. Dear Mr. Calloway, we are overjoyed to welcome you to the team. Your first shift will be tomorrow night. Come prepared with a flashlight, a jacket, and some reading material. Best of luck, your benefactors. A map of the cemetery fell out of the envelope. One grave in particular was marked with a heavy red X. Though I was skeptical, I decided to humor them. What did they have to gain from this anyway? With that in mind, I showed up to the cemetery just before sunset. I found my way to the designated grave with relative ease. Blackstone isn't very big after all. I stared at the stone inscription, no clearer than it is now, before I plopped down and opened my book to read. Once I had made it past the first night, I thought that I had certainly just wasted my time. But to my utter disbelief, when I arrived home, my first day's pay was waiting for me on the kitchen counter. I should have been afraid. Someone had access to my home. They had intruded on my property multiple times, and according to the letter, they had been watching me. But I wasn't. I was content as long as the money kept coming in. And I know that's right.
As long as the check clears.
Mm-hmm. In this economy? No. Fast forward 30 years, and here I am. I was happy with the job. Strange though it was, the graveyard became a sort of safe haven for me, a comfort zone. The worst I had to deal with was the occasional gang of edgy teenagers. Aside from that, the nights were serene.
The edgy teenagers in question? Us.
Us in Salem. Aside from that, the nights were serene. Until last night. What happened has me questioning everything I know about reality itself.
Great.
I was sitting before the grave, per usual, nose deep in a mystery novel, when it happened. The ground below me began to shift. I leapt forward, fearing an earthquake. But as I surveyed my surroundings, I came to realize that the only earth at my feet was disturbed. Only the dirt at my feet was disturbed. I watched the dirt, mesmerized, unable to take my eyes away. The ground continued to rumble until finally something burst from within the steps. A rotting skeletal hand shot from the earth. It didn't grasp aimlessly. It knew what it wanted. The hand lunged for me. Its decaying fingers clasped my ankle. I released a terrified shriek as I pulled down with my frightened strength. I kicked at the hand with my free leg, terror surging through my veins. When it finally released me, I realized I was bleeding. Frantic, I backed up and did the only thing I'd been trained to do. I called my employer. They picked up immediately. The grave, whoever's buried there, they've awakened? For the first time, I heard my benefactor's voice. It was deeper than that of any human I have ever encountered. It uttered a single word. Run. I shambled off as quickly as my legs would carry me. Between my age and the damage to my ankle, it was slow going, but eventually I made it to my car and put my foot on the gas. Once I arrived home, heart still threatening to leap from my chest, I was greeted by an envelope. I tore it open without any hesitation, and I frowned as I read the letter's contents. Dear Mr. Calloway, we regret to inform you that we will no longer require your services.
What?
Your severance package will be delivered at a later date with an additional lump sum for the injury you sustained on site. Thank you for your understanding.
So they know. They're watching him. Wait, what? So eventually, Skelly Man under the ground gets fed up with you watching and decides he's going to attack, and there's cameras to where the benefactuaries can know what happened. Why don't they watch him through the cameras? If they can see what happened, why aren't they the ones watching?
I have so many questions. Like,
have you ever seen the show on Netflix called The Watcher?
No.
It's very similar, and it's based on a true story. Basically, this family moves into this house that they kind of can't afford. And it's on this old neighborhood, huge like houses. And they start getting letters from this guy that he calls himself the Watcher. And they start getting like more and more threatening. And if you liked that story, go watch The Watcher. And then when you're finished watching The Watcher, look up the real family that like went through this heinous situation that all happened in the form of letters in the mailbox. But I don't like how they can see what's happening to this man to know that he had injuries. So why aren't they
the
watching?
The whole thing confuses me because, okay, so you're told watch this grave for 30 years. Watch this grave on certain nights of the week. And if anything peculiar happens, you're supposed to reach out to the benefactors, the anonymous benefactors who are paying for your job. But then the second something weird happens, you're told to run. Like,
yeah, what's the point of
watching? Because if he's being like sacrificed to something, they would want him to stay to be eaten or whatever. But yeah, they burned. Clearly want him alive. So they tell him to run to save him.
But they won't tell him why he's the chosen one.
And then he's like,
I wonder what that severance package was. Because it seems like these people got money.
Probably delicious.
And what is that hand doing out? Get back in. You're going to get cold. Oh,
one of my favorite movies of all time. I can't believe you haven't watched it. It's so good. Dark Shadows with Johnny Depp.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
It's an older movie. It has like Chloe Grace Moretz in it.
Ooh.
It's so moody. And it's so like gothic. Like,
we're going to have to make a list.
It's so campy. It's so good. But it kind of reminds me of that. Like, there's this vampire who's like buried in the ground for like 100+ years, and then like he escapes. And
yeah. Why do they want out?
I know. And it took 30 years for the thing to get out.
Yeah. What? And why only certain days of the week is this a threat? Or is there another guy that comes on the other nights? Is there another man? Is there another beneficiary?
That's really interesting.
Or another person that they're interested in? There is too many loose ends on that for me.
But
we needed more answers. But that is weird, eerie, spooky. Don't like it. Hopefully his severance was good. I bet it was cheesy.
Of the three stories, which one was your favorite?
The one that actually gave me chills on my legs was the one in the middle.
Yeah, the second one.
With the smoke detector.
Mm-hmm. That one was the scariest one, I think.
I'm in the ceiling. I can't protect him. I can't see you. Shut the hell up.
Well, I have a lot more where that came from. So please let us know if you're kind of into the r/no sleep vibe, because I go digging and I find gold. I find gold in there.
I've never heard of that one. Those were scary. Mm-hmm. I'm going to feel weird tonight going to bed. That's
that
for
came
sure.
From, ladies and gents.
Well, this has been a pleasure.
Trick or treat early, girls and gays. But yeah, anything else to say before we dive into our Jimmy John?
Our Unwitch. If you want to see more spooky dookies, come see us on the Tron.
Please. You guys, we have way too much fun on there. And I already have a very funny story that I'm going to tell.
Oh, okay.
We'll see you there.
All right. We'll see you there. Have a good night's sleep.
Yeah. Sleep well.
On that note, have a great slumber. Bye.